Hi, and welcome to BA Brew. I'm Pete.
I'm Peter.
I'm Neil.
And today we shall be talking about cybersecurity and business analysis. So we have a very special guest with us, Bindu, who has recently authored a book for BCS on this very topic, cybersecurity and business analysis. So I thought we'd probably start off, if that's okay with you guys, with the term cybersecurity. So we hear that term quite a lot these days. But what's your take on it, Bindu? I mean, everyone seems to have a slightly different perspective on it. So I'm interested in finding out your take on it.
Absolutely. It's a brilliant question, Pete. Probably, I think, Neil, if you're reading the book, you will notice I use a lot of anecdotes and stories and analogies. So I'm going to use an analogy here as well, or a story here. Probably you both might have heard the elephant and the six blind men story. So
it sounds familiar, Bindu, but I can't remember yes. it.
So, yes, basically, you know, there are six blind men around the huge elephant, and they're trying to describe how the elephant looks like. So the way I have seen through my work and research and all of that, cybersecurity is exactly something. It's huge. It's like this huge elephant, and all of us, coming from different perspectives, are trying to define it from our own perspective. So if we were to ask a question to the compliance team member, what does cybersecurity mean to them? Probably they might say in the lines of, okay, it's all about compliance, could be privacy or any other GDPR, for example. Somebody working in IT might say, oh, it's about securing the network and the firewalls. And the system architect might say, securing data and systems. And Neil would have his own, talking about, oh, it's a policy and we have to compliance and this and that. So all of us, again, a business person or a business leader might say, oh, you know what? It's all technical. I don't understand much about it, but I have a team who can really take care to secure the systems and the data and all the things we do. So each of us have our own understanding, and hence is the confusion. The moment we say cybersecurity, we all see through our own lenses. And many times, even when I've been kind of talking to people and say, you know what, cybersecurity training, immediately by default, their mind goes to cybersecurity awareness training, which we all anyway, you know, are obligated to do in our organizations. But it's much, much more than that. So from a BA perspective, just to very, you know, give you a succinct answer and to put it in a single sentence, which I struggle most of the time, is cybersecurity is to ensure that the value we co-create BA's responsibility is to include and ensure that that value is secured, and that we have to do through our analysis, and that is a BA's responsibility, period.
Excellent. Well, no, it's a very good answer, and I guess in some respects, if it wasn't for lots of criminals out there trying to do the wrong thing, we wouldn't even be sitting here thinking about this, would we? Because, you know, most of the time BAs are focusing on doing positive things and bringing about positive improvement and positive outcomes and benefits and value. But we've got to protect them because there are people out there that want to corrupt them, want to steal them, and so on and so forth. Can I just come to you, Neil, what's your take as a CIO, as a chief information officer?
Yeah, so absolutely. So very much in my early career, I was just working on an IT support desk, and it's just all about those user workstations, keeping them secure and making sure there was no viruses being downloaded onto them. But obviously now, as I've moved up into this chief information officer role, it's more about those policies. It's all about those security policies that we're keeping up to date. And we're answering continuous security questionnaires from all our suppliers. It takes up a lot of our time, and it's really now a really key area of cybersecurity for us. It's not much fun, but it needs to be done. But I feel like the Cybersecurity Center, there's a lot there. It's a great resource, a great website, it's a great body of information they've got there. And like, even the certification around the cyber essentials that they launched in 2014, that's been a great asset to have. And it really sort of opens your eyes up to how vast cybersecurity really is. because you get this survey through and it just asks you lots of questions you never thought about. I remember when we first did it in 2015 and there were just certain aspects in there I've never really thought about too much in cybersecurity, but it's a really great piece of information to have.
Brilliant.
And great certification as well.
I guess, Neil, you and I have another joint interest as well, because we're both members of the board of Assist, and as so we have lots of responsibilities to protect the assets of our business, but also to be compliant with whatever regulations apply to our business as well. So, you know, it's a good thing that cybersecurity is there, because it really helps us to do those things, even though, I mean, from my point, obviously from your point, you know an awful lot more about it. But from my point, I'm not an expert in cybersecurity. But I do have a lot of responsibilities with regard to cybersecurity. So I'm glad that there are experts out there and this exists. So coming on to and my next question, I guess, what inspired you to write the book? It's a bit of a big question, no doubt, Bindu. What inspired you to write the book?
I think I've been doing this work for some time. Pete, probably you remember we did a couple of gigs as well for this forum and the European conference, PA conference. It was basically one of my personal experience working with an organization where I was just assigned a project which was almost at the bottom of the backlog, and it was there for probably around a year and a half or something like that. And just because there was capacity in the project, this project was assigned to me. And when it was assigned, there was also a solution along with the problem. And as any good BM would do, I kind of started understanding what is the root cause of this problem and is the solution that has been devised some time back, is it still relevant? And as I started to understand and talk to people, it occurred that it was basically a data breach that had happened, and the solution what they had devised was to address this, a control to address that particular issue. However, even though it was a data breach and the solution was thought about it, the whole organization didn't even think it was a priority project. And what really alarmed me at that time was this particular data breach didn't happen just once. It happened multiple times. So the problem was ongoing, and the operational reports were actually highlighting that there have been excessive downloads. And here we are talking about a subscription organization, which is, you know, their content is their bread, butter, cream, everything, cheese. And again, a very prestigious organization. So, I mean, if you look at the risk here, it was a huge risk. And that really kind of surprised me. And whenever I spoke to anybody, they didn't realize to kind of look at the risk the way I was seeing it. Well, and, you know, it was like, oh, PAs, you know, analysis gets into paralysis and all that. So kind of a thing. But however, this particular incident really, you know, kind of opened my eyes into another world. And I started questioning, as we BAs do, okay, who is responsible for this? And how do we kind of even ensure that this gets the attention that it really requires? And then I think all the arrows were trying to kind of, you know, towards me, which means as a BA, should I be including this in my analysis? And again, as I was started thinking about it, you know, what do we analyze? We analyze the environment, internal, external, you know, the present and the future and all of those. So which means it made a logical sense for me to kind of include this within my analysis and also deliver a complete analysis, because the organization has trusted, analyzed something. So there is, you know, kind of an undocumented trust between the BAs and the organizations or the clients. That's what I always say. So which means that we are expected to deliver a complete analysis. We don't take decisions, but we deliver the analysis. So based on that analysis, the organization, the leaders, whoever are the decision makers, can make those conscious decisions. And that is where I found a ground for me to say, okay, if I am a good BA, I have to deliver a complete analysis, which means that this should be part of it. So that is when, you know, it all started. And of course, I'm talking this probably 7-8 years back. And I had to go back to university to study information security. And yes, once I did that, at the same time, IABA was trying to put some certification together around the cybersecurity analysis. So I just happened to be part of that team as well. And since then, I've been kind of a keen advocate, speaking at every opportunity, every conference, webinars, discussion forums, bringing this through articles, just to kind of bring this awareness. Because as an organization, you know, like we are, of course, transforming now, but quickly. We have been transforming, but now quickly. But there was a point where, you know, we just left the cybersecurity to NFRs, which was fine up until some time. And yes, we have been doing it. So yes, after one of the conference sessions, after my presentation, PCS came and asked, we would like you to write a book. Would you want to do it? And that's exactly where the seed kind of started. And it took ages, as you know now, day and night. All those laughs, cries, everything. The stories, the essence, the knowledge. And I think brilliant part for me, or the most challenging part for me, was both the business analysis and cybersecurity are two very distinctive, you know, very theoretical oriented subjects on their own. And just to identify those bits, you know, how I can marry these two and where would that integration happen, was a bit of a challenge for me. But yeah. You can tell me, and Neil can tell me when he completes the book, how much it has, just kind of really been there.
I think that's an interesting point, though, isn't it? Because, you know, a lot of people, I guess, you know, that are working in business analysis probably kind of think, you know, cybersecurity is a technical issue, isn't it? So we've got teams that deal with that. You know, so as a BA, I don't need to worry about that, or I just need to make sure that I've got a non-functional requirement that says we need to deal with this. But actually, I think, and you know, this sort of leads me into my next question, I guess. You present a one-day workshop on cybersecurity and business analysis, and you know, one of the things that's within that workshop, or within the topics there, you know, talks about the need for business analysis and cybersecurity integration. So, I mean, if you wouldn't mind, you know, just can you just elaborate what you mean in that context? I think it sort of leads on quite nicely from that conversation, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think it's a very brilliant question, Pete, because that's the normal understanding, that it's a very technical subject. Yes, it is a technical subject. And as you have seen how we behave, BAs have been kind of educating and adapting, because if I look back my own journey, although I came from a technical background, working as a systems analyst developer, I was in a position to kind of understand the most of the technical aspects in a project. But however, I've seen BAs who have come from a purely business background. Also, they have adapted themselves to kind of understand, you know, about the technicalities of the project, like they would be termed as systems analysts and so on and so forth. And now today with data and all the other stuff. So similarly, there is a kind of a learning journey here. But again, we don't have to be experts, but there is a kind of little bit of learning for us in terms of the language, in terms of those vocabularies. So like as I just mentioned earlier, that we help, BAs help organizations to co-create the value. And in order to do that, we do, you know, our analysis. We are aware of the external and internal factors. We use, you know, like techniques like PESL, SWOT analysis. We do all of that. We analyze the current and the future business landscapes. So today, our business landscape, not even future, today, is kind of completely driven by tech. Unlike, you know, just the business need or the customer need, which was probably a decade earlier. So today we are in a position where we are telling our customers what else they can do. So, which means technology is just not only the essential, but a very integral part of what we do and to the success of our organization. So today, most of the businesses are existing because of the tech. And I don't think so. There are not many businesses that could run if there's no technology. So in the same way, yes, we BS have to kind of, you know, educate and adopt and redefine what business, today's business really mean. So it is to kind of understand the systems and the technology and today how we are adapting to AI. So similarly, this need to integrate cybersecurity. And I always say wherever, you know, there's technology, there is cybersecurity. Again, I use the analogy of a stick. You know, when you pick up one end of the stick, you inevitably pick up the other end of the stick. So security anyway comes along with that. So BAs have to understand that, you know, when we create the value, why do we leave the security of it to somebody else? The whole organization works as a team, collaborates, and that is where, you know, when you create something, it has to be protected. And there are so many reasons. We all are aware of why it needs to be protected. Anything of value needs to be protected. So yes, that is where the integration and to do that, BAs have to understand why it is we need to deliver this, you know, analysis holistically and thereby include it. And yes, part of, to answer your question again, in the training as well, that is a kind of, it's an experiential training where, because, you know, normally when you say cybersecurity training, it's very dry, theoretical, but this particular workshop, what I'm delivering is experiential where we'll actually, you know, go through some of the exercises. It's all about realizing, understanding why we need to do that. And that is where the need to, you know, why to understand and realize why there is a need. Because once we understand that why, we can then do the rest.
That's brilliant. And I completely agree. And as you were talking there, I was suddenly thinking, it's almost as if we're at the place with cybersecurity that, you know, the systems development world was at probably 30 or 40 years ago, where testing was seen as something you could almost bolt on to the end of software development. And of course now, you know, testing is an integral part of everything that people do along the way, even BAs, you know, doing what might be called static testing, you know, checking documentation, making sure that things are correct and that they align. So it's embedded in everything that people do nowadays to do with building digital solutions. And it sounds like we're at that point with cybersecurity that it's so fundamental, we just leave it as an afterthought. You know, we've got to embed it in everything that we do along the way. Otherwise, it's going to catch us out at some point. I don't know what you think about that, you guys. You know, any thoughts?
Now, I actually, during lockdown, I attended a technology in business analysis webinar. There was like 150 sort of BAs on this webinar, and they launched a poll and they said, what is the biggest concern or threat that you're not aware of? And I think 80% of the poll said cybersecurity. And it's, again, it's not they need to be cybersecurity experts. It's just understanding what cybersecurity is and how it fits into that business labs landscape, like you say, and just having a holistic view of it. It's not just about antivirus software. It's not more than that. It's everything you've touched on, Bin.
It's like a lot of things, isn't it? It's raising the awareness so that people are much more aware of something rather than having this kind of siloed view. Oh, it's someone else's problem. It's dealt with by someone else, so I don't need to know about it. But it's interesting you raised the issue of technology, because that leads us seamlessly into I guess what probably needs to be our final question, otherwise our producer's going to start going like this to me in a moment. But of course, you know, we couldn't do a brew without thinking of good old AI nowadays. Everyone talks about AI. It's on the tips of everyone's tongue. Of course, you know, again, the rise in the use of AI, you know, is becoming sort of astronomical now, isn't it? But as with a lot of these things, you know, new technologies, there's a lot of excitement about it. You know, people start to embrace it and use it and dabble with it. But of course, that can be done in a positive way, but it can also be done in a negative way. So, you know, if organizations can start to use AI for good, then does that mean that criminals can start to use AI for bad? So I guess the question here is, you know, do you think that with the advent of AI, it makes, you know, it easier for criminals to commit cyber attacks?
This is, again, one of the questions, you know, about AI, everything that every time it pops up. Again, I would use another analogy, as you know, Pete, which is something to deliver a message. This AI is also like a double-edged sword. It's brilliant. And when we talk about from a cybersecurity perspective, yes, it can absolutely help a lot, especially just by even analyzing the huge amounts of volumes of data. We are talking about everything is data these days. So yes, from threat detection to proactive, you know, prevention of those incidents, fraud detections in financials, and, you know, thereby even reducing this, the speed in how we kind of respond to those threats as well, especially one of the top, incidents is due to the patch updates. So that again, so automating all of these things, you know, AI does a brilliant job. And also we are talking about now the facial recognition and voice recognition. And we know what are the on the contrary, the deep fakes and the negative impacts of those. And another issue with AI is the bias, which, you know, where how do we create those training models? So along with this, like as I said, it's a double-edged sword. So as a PA, you know, the way we are kind of tuned is the moment when anything is presented there, we just don't take it as a face value. We just don't assume it. We start analyzing, okay, this information you're giving, is it right? Why is it right? Where is it? You know, kind of we start putting that analysis lens to it. And when I see it just as a tool, you know, it is the one who is using the tool is the key here. And there are a lot of researchers that are coming up, especially these days, which are talking about, you know, we as humans, we shouldn't lose our intellectual capabilities, because it is that intellectual capability which actually tells us how we use this AI for the good or not so good. So security itself, the way, you know, it has to be approached, it's in a positive approach. It's having a positive mindset to it, because we have something of value, we protect it, not because somebody's going to take. Yes, that's also another way of seeing. So from that perspective, I think AI is just another tool, but how we use it or the organizations use it, it all depends on how strong or what is our intellectual or the moral compass is pointing to. Mm-hmm. Based on that, we can actually use it. And that's the way we all should be thinking. That's my take on that.
I like that way of talking, you know, thinking about it. And I mean, when you said about it's a tool, and you know, we shouldn't lose our abilities, and one of the things that of course humans have over machines is we have things like a moral compass, and we have ethics, and we have values and principles that we live by, and in the world of AI there's a phrase, isn't there, you know, human in the loop. So it's saying, right, yes, use the AI, but sometimes you need the human in the loop to make sure the AI does the right thing and not the wrong thing. But of course, unfortunately, there are certain people out there that see it as a tool to do the wrong thing, as in, you know, it's going to make creating havoc and causing these cyber attacks much easier by using AI. And one thing that came to focus for me this week is my wife mentioned a situation. I haven't got a quote or anything for it, but she mentioned that she'd seen something in the news where cyber criminals are now using emulated voices to then make a phone call and it sounds like it's someone that you know at the other end, and they're saying, look, you know, I'm really a bit short this month, can you send me some money, you know, and things like that. And because it actually sounds like the person, that's quite scary, isn't it, to think that those sort of things, you know, could happen. But I guess to kind of flip it so it's not too negative at the end of the brew, you know, AI presumably could be used to help counter some of the attacks as well. So you could end up having a situation of, you know, the bad AI fighting the good AI. And as humans, you know, we just almost detach ourselves and watch going on. I don't know, you know, is that a flight of fancy or might there be something in that, you think?
Neil, do you want to take this?
Well, I think you're right. I don't want to delve too much into it. It's interesting how we talk about the evolution of technology, because it reminds me of when we started using Microsoft 365 back in sort of 2012. And it was great that we suddenly were able to access our emails from anywhere in the world, from any workstation, which was a great piece of technology that somebody came along. We weren't reliant on our files that were running on our own laptops or PCs at home or in the office. But of course, comes with that a couple of years later when the cyber criminals catch up. Suddenly, they've got an easy gateway into your inboxes just through a couple of sets of credentials, and they're in there. So that's just how easy it then evolves. And you've got people with the wrong moral, what do we call that? The moral
compass. Yes, the moral compass. Yeah, I like that.
That's works. Yeah, that's my thoughts really on that. Yeah, but in terms of AI, I think it's to some respects, it's always been in there in the background, basically what algorithms are running the virus scans, doing checking the viruses. It's always been in there, but just in not as sort of mainstream as it is now, if you like.
Absolutely. Right, so to wrap things up, any final thoughts? If I can go to you first, Bindu.
Yes, I think my final thoughts would be the one I mentioned in the beginning. Cybersecurity is to ensure that the value as BSV co-create is secured, and it's the BS responsibility to include cybersecurity holistically within our analysis.
Brilliant. And from you, Neil?
I was just actually going to mention the people, because we've not mentioned the people once today in this podcast, but actually they're the most important part of cybersecurity. And as my employees may be watching this podcast, I think just to say that, you know, they are the most people that keeping our organization secure is the people. So, yeah.
Yeah. And also, I guess, you know, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So we can use all of this technology to fight against cybersecurity, but, you know, you can't completely legislate for human nature, can you? And sometimes it might be that someone, you know, with the best will in the world, you know, just happens to divulge something that they shouldn't divulge, you know, in a social setting, and you don't know what could happen with that. You know, that could trigger something. You may just happen to have someone in the room listening who's got, you know, some dodgy moral compass, shall we say. Yeah, excellent. So thanks, Bindu, for joining us, and thanks, Neil, for joining us. It was a very thought-provoking conversation. And thanks to everyone watching and listening to us as well. So thanks for joining us today. If anyone has any ideas for future episodes, please do get in touch. You can email us at babrew@assistkd.com. And, of course, don't forget to share and subscribe.